Hello, it's Wednesday, and that means it's time for another edition of the HTXT AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lutz, and joining me in studio today is Nick Cowan.
Hello.
And Clinton Matos.
Hello, everybody.
How are you guys doing?
Not bad, actually. Could do with another day on the weekend, but...
Yeah, I think we could.
I don't think that that's a completely unique complaint.
I'm elected president.
And yourself, Clinton?
You will be tweeting.
To be a it's been good. I spent the weekend doing nothing, which is good.
That's always good, you know, nothing on your weekend.
I was sick, though, for most of it. So
you were supposed to go to an event, weren't you?
Yes, there was an event for the Ghost Recon Wildlands launch.
And you got sick.
Yeah, I woke up at 6 so I could get there because it's quite far away, and I could not leave the house.
That's terrible.
Well, that's the funny thing, is that, like, that's not the full story, though, is it, Clinton?
Why?
Well, I believe your exact words to me were, "Morning, Nick, are you going to the Ghost Recon event today? I was supposed to go, but I've woken up and I'm unable to get too far from my bathroom."
Yes.
Well, can we not talk about the bowel movements of our staff on this podcast, please?
I'm the managing editor. I'll discuss any bowel movements I like.
I have a stomach ulcer and I must have been acting up.
Yeah. So. Okay. 22.
I was really disappointed because it was at an airsoft.
So you wanted to get shot with bullets?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Where was it exactly?
I don't know. It was in Irini, I think. It's quite far away. But yeah, I've done paintball. I've done laser tag. I did the type of laser tag where they have like a pack on you that shocks you when you get hit.
Really?
Yeah. So I've done those things before. I was looking forward to it, but noit.
Yeah.
Couldn't not go. Going to happen this time around.
Yeah. So that was disappointing. I think the game launches today.
Today it is out today.
Well, actually, not really. It's relaunching as we record this, but by the time you listen to it, it'll be out already.
That's true. That's true. Sorry, I get confused between the recording on one day and publishing on another.
You're just hoping that Wednesday is coming earlier than...
I thought today was Wednesday. Yeah. What you're talking about?
Nick's actually downloading it as we speak in the past.
Yeah.
I am also busy downloading it in the past.
My download will be done before yours.
Shut up with your fiber line.
Yeah, we can't go through one podcast without Nick throwing in...
What do you mean podcast? Day.
I'm
my fiber and my... Air conditioning are working perfectly.
Web Africa was supposed to come install a fiber line, but I have like a really low end fiber line just to test it out. But they didn't show up. The flips.
The flips?
Yeah, use a different word. And they didn't answer their what's it called? Their call center won't pick up. So, no.
Well, that's probably a very useful
good sign.
Yeah.
I'm already signed up. I can't really turn back.
Stop playing with that because that's coming through on the audio. Give it over here. I'm confiscating a stapler. I can't wait for you to have your fidget cube. Maybe you should bring
I already have one. I found one in the flea market for half price and I bought it.
Do you regret the Kickstarter now?
No, because it's still going to come, and if I don't like it, I'll just sell it because I know a lot of people who want one. But it's ridiculous. And I funded it, and I only got an email about 2 weeks ago saying it's on its way, and it's in local flea markets in flipping South Africa. So yeah, I have it. I think the one I have is like of lower quality, but it's still good.
Have you broken it yet?
No.
Well, there you go.
What do you mean, have I broken it?
Well, you fidget a lot, so
no, I mean,
I'm
like
imagining this thing's getting quite a workout.
Yeah, no, it has like, what's it called? It has buttons, and when you press a button, you can feel if it's spongy and like of low quality.
Have you seen that fidget thing that they were advertising on Facebook, which looks like a propeller?
Yeah, it's called a fidget spinner. For some reason, for the past few weeks, the flipping internet is, months, internet has lost its mind over fidget spinners.
I find them annoying.
What do you mean in real life?
Like
you
just see in real life, just see like one of my mates has one and he fidgets with it and it is the most annoying thing to catch the corner of your eye. At least the cube is like in your hand, but the spinning thing is like, oh, look at me, I'm fidgeting. No, stop it. Stop
like Gambit from the X-Men.
That is the appeal. It's just someone going, I'm a mini superhero.
No, lots of people, I don't know, like to play around. So they've always been around, and then they just exploded, and people were like, oh, you can 3D print these. You just need to buy some, what's it called, bearings from the local motor parts store.
All right.
Everyone has them.
Or you can take apart a whole hard drive.
Yeah.
and turn it into a lazy Susan.
Yeah. I've seen so many websites that are like, oh, we the original, patent pending. It's like, okay, 20,000 people are selling these. Even if some court towards you are patented, there's no way you can take them all down at this point. So, yeah, there's lots of little pop-up stores that are just like, hey, I'm a woodworker, I make fidget spinners. I'm a metal worker, I make fidget spinners. I bought a 3D printer, I make fidget spinners. It's literally, it's a piece of weight of anything and a bearing. Mm. It's, yeah, anyway, that was a tangent.
But if you want to know more about fidget spinners and the fidget cube,
Google
Clinton Mattos, it's 011555.
You can Venmo me some startup capital.
Well, we could talk about robots instead.
Yes.
You like robots.
Horizon Zero Dawn, yes.
Yes.
What you playing that, Nick?
Yeah, I've been playing it for the last week because, you know, we are at a staff of four. If I bugger off for the day, it's a staff of three, and sometimes people have to go to events, which makes it a staff of two or one. So I've having to play it on, like, the weekends and my nights off. And
How is it?
Let's see. It started off really, really well. Like, it started off really, really well. I mean, it looks... I'm playing it on a PS4. I'm not playing it on a PS4 Pro or anything like that. So it looks absolutely gorgeous, even on a PS4. It really does. You know, I remember having a chat with a guy who used to work at Edge, whose name escapes me at the moment, but we were watching Call of Duty, the first one, Ghosts on the new gen.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? I just hope that the next gen is, you know, in terms of its visuals, is more about air particles. Because that was the big thing, it's like air particles. Whereas Horizon Zero Dawn has, like, so many textures. It has, it's gobsmackingly good. I mean, you're running character animations with, you
Alloy.
Know, with Alloy and these robot builds, which you've seen a lot of ahead of the game, with a wilderness, with a with a world that's quite varied, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Like, you go from, you know, lush fields to snow covered wilderness to desert.
Yeah.
And you know, there's no lag, it doesn't skip a beat, it's very colorful while at the same time looking very realistic. I mean, you never mistake this world for the real world, but it's just it's such a beautiful world. And, you know, because it's like it's not, because the end of the world was not brought about by nuclear bombs or war, you know, war with another planet. It doesn't look as burnt out like something like Sierra does in Gears of War or Fallout.
Yeah, all of the Fallouts before four were just...
You know, it looks like... It reminds me a lot of... Do you remember Enslaved, Odyssey to the West?
Yeah.
And a little bit of The Last of Us thrown in for good measure.
Mm.
And then, you know, mankind was almost wiped out and nature has reclaimed... the planet.
I really want to know the story of why nature then turned into robots.
Nature did not turn into robots. I mean, here's the thing.
Well, don't say anything, because I think that's a spoiler.
Well, not really. It's not really a spoiler, because you run around in the world and you see animals. There are animals in there.
Yeah, I actually
There's like
saw,
a boar and a fox and a rabbit.
I saw someone playing and there were real animals and I was surprised.
Yeah.
What? I thought everyone had gone all metal. Like,
No. I mean, this is the thing, is that, like, here's the thing. The humans have to eat something, and they're not all vegetarians. And the thing is that, like, the funny thing is, you can take down these robotic creatures the same way you would hunt an animal.
Yeah.
You're going to eat anything out of it. You know?
Well, I don't know. I think aluminium with a nice Merlot is really good on a Sunday night.
I thought that maybe in the fiction they were like in Sonic, where he takes normal animals and just turns them into cyborg animals.
But that would have been a really crap plot.
Well, that would have been a really crap plot.
It was like the basis of Sonic.
Did Sonic have a plot?
Well, no,
jump on things and
without telling you too much about the world, I will give you a clue. You might notice that no animal that has managed to survive in this environment is as big as the smallest robot.
Okay.
Right. Chew on that for a bit. The idea is basically that the food chain has been reorganized.
Okay.
You play this woman named Alloy.
Alloy, but it's spelled alloy.
Alloy, yeah.
Well, as in two metals put together, because of course.
Well, I mean, the person who brought you out was named Rost. Not Rust. Rost. Rost.
How is that spelled?
The same. R-O-S-T.
R-O-S-T.
R-O.
All right.
Rost.
And you are a child that was abandoned, and I don't know why, but that apparently means that you have to be an outcast, and Rost is an outcast as well. So you grow up as an outcast. The other kids are mean to you. They throw rocks at you when you come near them.
Damn kids.
And in the beginning, Aloy comes across something called a cauldron, which essentially is a forgotten bunker or a forgotten building that is filled with tech from the old world. And because tech from the old... lots of people don't know where the machines come from, but they know they're bloody dangerous, and they also know that this isn't the way of life that humans used to have, and that something happened between now and the machines arriving to wipe them all out. So, like, machines are basically looked at as, at best, an inconvenient, at worst, blasphemous. You know, you're not allowed to own technology in certain tribes. And
do they still have technology in these tribes?
Well, you see, this is the thing. When you're in this cauldron and you're looking around, Aloy comes across something called a focus, which is like an earring she attaches to her ear. And one of the mechanics of the game is you click in one of the thumbsticks and it throws up this kind of field around you, which allows you to see technology in a way that you wouldn't without it. For example, you can see a machine lurking behind a rock because you see through the rock. You can identify different machines and perhaps their weaknesses, what weapon to use on them. And you can also, if they're like wandering around in a kind of patrol pattern, if you watch them long enough, the patrol pattern pitches up and you can actually time your runs between them.
Sounds That's like, really cool, actually.
Sounds like Detective Vision from the Arkham series.
It is Detective
and like,
Vision.
And what was it called in The Witcher 3? That just like
The Witcher Sense.
The Witcher Sense, yeah.
I would also point out it's very much like the Hitman's sensory thing in Hitman Absolution, where you know you'd follow a trail of fire around with someone walking on. So yeah, there's that. And so Aloy gets this. Rost tells her to get rid of it, and she tells him to get stuffed, as the petulant child she is.
Damn kids!
And then she decides to take part in this. You know, she's basically sick and tired of being an outcast. So she, over a period of her life, is trained by Rost to become a hunter. And hunting basically involves using a lot of weapons, most notably the bow. A couple of static catchers, static traps, and things like that.
See, she has a cat ear as well.
Yeah, she can.
Which, if you're listening from outside the country, is what we call a slingshot.
Yeah, it's a sling. It's in the game, it's called a sling.
Oh, I wish it was called a cat ear.
And she learns how to hide, which apparently just involves crouching down in long grass.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I've never thought of that in my life.
Yeah. Do you need training for that?
Crouch in the long grass.
Need to train your knees. So,
and you know, there's this thing called the proving, which she trains her entire life to become a part of, so she can become a part of a tribe. And at that point, I will stop telling you about the plot, because that's just sort of the intro. And everything kind of goes sideways after that.
So is it any good?
It's very good in places. In fact, it's lots and lots of fun in places. I mean, my favorite thing to do is to... they call it unlocking. I would call it hijacking one of the many beasts.
Yeah.
Because the thing is that, like, it's a big open world. It's a very big open world.
Yeah.
And you can fast travel to it through it to a degree. You find bonfires and you light the bonfire and you can do a quick save or a main save. And once you've lit a bonfire and they're all dotted around the map, you can fast travel between the ones you've lit with something you buy at a shop or craft called a fast travel pack. You have a limited number that you can carry. But what I like to do is I like to hijack one of the metal creatures, and then you can mount it and just ride through the wilderness.
Oh, that's cool.
Because when you're walking through the wilderness, and I read this in one review that someone said, I can't remember, I think it was US Gamer, they said, you know, a lot of the animals will run away if they see, sorry, a lot of the creatures will run away if they see you, but a lot of the machines will attack as well. I was like, I don't know what game he's playing. Every single machine looks at you and is like, right.
You're dead.
You're squishy.
Right. And the great thing about hijacking something like a strider
It's like a
that's deer. Basically the horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, the robot horse is the fact that you can ride past fields of these creatures who may look up and look in your direction, and you see the icon above their head going, ah, don't like this person here. But because you're moving through so fast, they're like, yeah, whatever. Who cares? Irritation. The best thing to do is to climb to the top of a tall neck, because they give you the best views.
So those are the robot, either giraffes or what are they called? Bronchosauruses?
Yes.
Bront giraffe. The tall horse.
And and the great thing about hijacking them is that, like, they're oblivious to you. Like, you literally climb up them as they walk along. They're oblivious to pretty much everything. They're kind of like a roaming server for all the...
I've seen, and you climb it. It has like a ladder structure on its neck, which is really cool. Yeah. And then you ride it. I think we spoke about this two podcasts ago. You don't ride it by sitting on its back. You sit on its big bulbous head, which looks like a satellite dish.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a terrible idea.
It's really good.
It works good as a game mechanic, but...
Works good.
In real life, you would fall over the dinosaur's head.
Works well.
It worked good.
But that having been said, there are some peccadillos about the game that I took issue with. For example, there are areas where... Okay, first of all, you have to grind, and you have to grind a lot. And you grind, and you grind, and you grind.
And this is a single-player game, right?
This is a single-player game.
Is it one of those open-world games?
It's one of those open-world games where it's basically like, okay, I'll give you a perfect example, right? So there was a quest that I was on that essentially involved going to one northern area of the map and entering a cauldron. But along the way there, you've got to get past, you know, loads of herds of metal creatures, right? And of course, there I am riding along happily away, you know, just avoiding the lot of them. A couple of them chase me for a few measures and then give up, right? And I get to this area where I light a bonfire, because that's the thing, is that I light a bonfire wherever I go, because those are the only places you can save at, right?
Okay. Now that's cool.
Hey, this sounds like Dark Souls.
Yeah.
No, but here's the thing, just to make this clear, you save at bonfires, but also, like, if let's say you get to a certain point in a mission where you've accomplished something really good, and it's taken quite a bit of effort to get there, then the game auto-saves.
Okay.
All right. So
not like Dark Souls.
So I'm riding along, and I've outpaced all these machines, and I see that, like, I've just got to go through this area ahead of me, and then this cauldron will be at the top of the map. And I ride into this area not knowing that there are a bunch of cult members and corrupted machines in the area who, you know, once I ride through the area, all of them go off and they just converge on me and kill me and my robot horse. So I reload the save, and I realize that what you actually have to do is kind of stealth your way through it, because there's loads of long grass and stuff like that. Right. You can't save mid-mission. So you get this area and you clear out this area, these annoying robots, these annoying people, and you clear them all out. And then the next thing you know, you turn the corner and there are a whole bunch of other robots and a whole bunch of other guys. And in this particular instance, there's a robot called a Corruptor, which is incredibly fast. It can fire missiles at you. It can fire explosive missiles at you. It can pick up a rock with its tail and hurl it at you. And it can also jump, like, from one end of the map to land on your head. Okay, and you have to get past that now.
I don't want to play this game anymore.
And here's the thing, you're not allowed to save before you get past that. Now, over a period of time, you start to learn certain things about the game. Like, for example, a Corruptor is vulnerable to fire.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean your fire arrows do a lot of damage initially, but if you pump enough of them into this thing, eventually it goes haywire. It just...
It freaks out
and starts sort of shuddering and not really moving.
Yeah.
And then you cause more damage with the fire arrows, but it takes a while to get to that stage, and it's worth taking out nearly every other enemy in the area, because the thing is, the moment one thing spots you, everyone converges on your position.
Everybody wants a piece.
And so this is why I said it's worth grinding as well, because, like, you know, the more that you grind, the higher levels you become. You can do things like fire three arrows at the same time. Your strikes are way, way heavier and harder. It gets to the stage where you can take out, like, an enemy with one hit of your bow, stuff like that. And every single mission you take part in, right, you have – it basically says, right, here's the mission name, And here's the level we suggest you be at before you attempt it.
Yeah, now, sort of like the Division did.
If you're sitting there at the level of 14, you can still tackle something like level 16. Yeah. It might be a little bit harder, but if you're like level 14 and it's like level 20, like don't even bother. The thing is that at the end of this particular mission, I came across a machine called a Deathbringer. And it's the one thing I've came across up until that point that wasn't like a horse or a bull or or something like that. It was just a big gun, a big autonomous gun, which fired tons.
It was
of
a Metal Gear.
It's Megatron.
I wouldn't say cheated, but I found a bit of a glitch.
You cheesed it.
There were a whole bunch of guys surrounding this gun. There were two watchers surrounding this gun. Every single time up until the point where I made my presence known or I was spotted, all of them just ran towards me, or I got blown to smithereens by this gun once it had turned around. And then I found that if I hid underneath a kind of runway, right, I was firing arrows around a corner at this thing. And it would fire volleys of ammunition at me, which, weirdly enough, were not able to penetrate the leather sheet.
This is Dark Souls.
Breaking my line of sight.
This is totally Dark Souls.
Dark Souls with dinosaurs.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, those things aside, it's really, really good. Some of the fetch quests gets a bit repetitive. But, you know, it's...
What fetch quests don't get repetitive, though?
Oh, my.
The ones in The Witcher 3, because they make fun of them while you do them.
Yeah, well, in a way, though, it would make more sense for The Witcher 3 to do that, because The Witcher's like, he's got a job. He's got something to do.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, hi, I'm the outcast who was picked on and spat at by...
Please, can you get me some berries?
Yeah, you know, and spat at by everyone. Sure, I'll go and help you out. What, your son's missing? I can't wait to run down there and see if he's okay. You know, it doesn't really work.
And The Witcher's like... I can't swear. It was like, screw you, pay me. That's what make those fetch quests good. When I first saw this game, it was just robot dinosaurs blinded me. A lot of people are saying it's a lot like a third person Far Cry.
Yeah,
it's just like open world bombastic stuff.
I'll tell you what though, the story's really good. For a game where you're sitting there going, how the hell did we end up in this situation where it's Clan of the Cave Bear meets robot machines, all right? It's really good, and it's really well told as well. And that's one of the things, despite, you know, my the difficulties I've had in some instances with it, that I wanted to keep playing because the story is really, really good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to... I don't know. This is a PlayStation exclusive, just like Yakuza, which we discussed a little while ago. Mm. I might just borrow my brother-in-law's PS4 and play it. I don't think I'm going to buy a system for a game. That's just me, though. I have seen some people. Brendan is one of those people who may be like, oh, I might buy it.
Sorry about that.
If you there's like a 4K option on the Xbox Pro.
I'm assuming Xbox Pro,
the PlayStation Pro, whatever, man.
I'm assuming so. I think so. I mean, it would make sense. I mean, this is the thing about the PS4 Pro. I think every game going forward is going to be 4K compliant, isn't it?
Yeah,
wasn't that the whole point?
I don't understand. Well, some people are doing it good. They're like...
doing it good.
Yeah, leave me alone. We haven't had lunch yet. Leave me be. Some games are like you can do 4K 30 or 20 frames per second. Then you can do 1080p 60, which Brendan's laughing that they can even do 4K. They can do it sometimes. It's not real 4K. I think Final Fantasy 15 had an update where you could choose 4K really low frames per second or 1080p higher.
Just go 1080p 60 frames a second.
People like bling, and it's also one of those things. Screenshots and trailers sell games. Like,
true,
you cannot argue that. And if your screenshots and your trailers are in 4K and people can pick up the game and it's in 4K, that's going to sell systems. Not a lot of people are going to be like, oh, I want higher frames.
Or you could just get a computer and then everything in 4K.
Yeah.
Brendan and I were discussing this before the podcast, though. Is it one of those things where you go? One of the things I appreciate about Sony, and I'm not bashing Microsoft at all, I just think that their business model is slightly different in that, like, you think of how much new IP comes out for Sony's console.
Well, I mean, there was The Last of Us. There's this now.
Okay, well, I mean, but to think of the last generation, you had things like Heavy Rain. You had Beyond Two Souls. Yes, it stunk, but hey, I didn't enjoy it. But it was new IP. You got Horizon Zero Dawn for this one. You got Detroit.
Detroit Steel.
Being Human or whatever it is. You've got that that zombie game that, you know, just these hordes pouring after you.
I forgot about that.
I can't remember what it's called. You're riding around on a motorcycle.
Yeah, and then the zombies just like, they have that World War Z sort of vibe to them. They just run after you endlessly.
Yeah.
I don't know what
I can't remember what its name is. I'll look for it now quickly.
Yeah, well, that doesn't have robots in it, Clinton, so you don't care.
Another thing Sony's doing right now, which I really like, I don't know the exact details of it, but a lot of games from Devolver Digital are being launched on PC and then either at the same time on PlayStation or a little later on PlayStation.
Days Gone,
that's the one.
But not on Xbox. So, and also Devolver Digital had a lot of games in the recent PlayStation Experience conference, so I can only assume they signed some kind of deal.
That having been said, there's quite a bit of indie games on the Xbox One console. I mean, here's the thing, right? This year, what are the new IPs that that Microsoft are launching?
Well, Scalebound. Oh,
yeah. I was going to say that. Let me ask you.
Exactly. I mean, because we will get another Halo soon. We will get another Forza soon. We will
There's Crackdown. There is Crackdown.
Crackdown's an old IP.
Not new.
No, it's not a brand new IP. Mm-hmm. And then you've got another Gears at some point in the next couple of years. But, like, I mean, Fable was cancelled.
Nick, if you Google new Xbox IPs this year, the second story is Microsoft's exclusive Xbox IP stable is in a rough shape. but there were Scalebound was, I think, one of two or three games that they were talking about, but I can't remember the other ones.
Well, I think we just went through them, didn't we?
One game.
Anyway, so yeah, but like, there were lots of new IPs from
Halo Wars, but again, old IP.
Old IP. We could do this all afternoon, but this is my point. Sony put out brand new IPs. They take a chance on them, and sometimes even when they take a bath financially, they will still say, "Oh, okay, we will support this particular studio, this particular developer, because they produce something that, while it didn't sell like the clappers, it either pushed the medium forward or it became a talking point." You know?
Yeah.
So, the only one I could find was not an Xbox exclusive, but a Microsoft exclusive, which is Cuphead, which keeps getting delayed.
Yeah, but will we ever see Cuphead?
Yeah, well, I've seen it. It's been at the last two Rage expos, which is amazing, and I've played it, and it's pretty good, but are we ever going to see
it? It's rock hard, though.
Yeah, it's really hard. If we'll see it as a finished thing, I don't know.
You know?
But yeah,
which is a far cry from when the Xbox 360 was kicking ass back in 2007.
Yeah, the summer of indie. That was flippin'.
That wasn't really the summer of indie. That was just when Microsoft had decided Mass Effect will be on our platform, Gears is on our platform, Halo's on our platform, we'll play Bioshock on our platform, we will have all of these exclusives and none for you, Sony. You know, and it's... Now all of these different games are available on different platforms.
Well, no, it was like a Super Meat Boy was on the Xbox. Flippin' Spelunky. Spelunky was such a successful game. That was on Xbox
first. But that's because it was awesome.
Yeah, and then there was another one. There was one more. I think, what was it? It was that puzzle game.
Okay, that's not really helping.
It was one Braid? Of those indie games. Yes, it was Braid. I think Braid also launched on Xbox first.
What happened with Jonathan Blow's second game?
I don't know.
Came to the PS4.
Yeah.
It's called The Witness.
Yeah, that was everywhere, though.
Yeah.
And I think Braid also came to all the platforms. But they launched on the Xbox.
Missed with iPads, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, what's going on, Xbox? What you doing?
Yeah, well, while we contemplate the ongoing console war with Sony and Microsoft, Nintendo has just released the Switch, which everyone is raving / complaining about.
I've never seen a more troubled console launch in...
Are you sure?
Yes.
Look back on Nintendo's other console launches.
Yeah, okay, but...
Well, your smartphone didn't interfere with that console, did it?
Yeah. The Wii was great, but when the Wii U launched, that wasn't really a debacle. That was just like, who cares? Yeah, but there's been a lot of problems with the Switch that have come out.
While at the same time, the Switch is the fastest selling console that Nintendo's ever produced. And I think, how many 10 out of 10s did The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild game?
I saw some people give it like 11 out of 10 and 50 that's out against of 40 the rules. And
but this is the thing, though.
It got good reviews.
This is the thing, though. I'm hoping it's as good as it is. I'm hoping that we get a console to review it on and perhaps a copy of the game, I hope. But the thing is that, like, you know, the way people were going on about Breath of the Wild, it's like, and we opened the box and the chorus of the heavens sang in our faces and everyone was happy and didn't have to pay taxes. You know, it's like, the people are talking about this like it's the second coming.
Yeah.
And like, Nintendo can do no wrong.
Well, apparently they can.
No, they do wrong. Imagine, I want to pose this to you. All the bad stuff that's been happening with the Switch, the desynchronization problems, all the dead pixels, all the scratches that you get from the dock, the cheapness of the dock from people who have broke it down, and there's a lot of other things I won't get into now. If Sony or Microsoft did that, they would have been burned to the ground.
Yeah, I agree with
you. Nintendo is just one of those companies that even if they do bad stuff, everyone's like,
it's Nintendo. Yeah. It's funky, cheery.
And then Nintendo fans come out of the woodwork and protect it and whatever. I don't get into that.
That was Clinton Matos giving his opinion on Nintendo and Nintendo fans.
Yeah, that's fine.
He can be found on Twitter.
No, that's fine.
But I agree with you totally, Clinton. Like, I just looked yesterday. I read a story about how to stop the Joy-Con controllers from desynchronizing.
Yeah. I think you wrote that story yesterday.
Yeah, I did. I did say that.
No. I wrote a story yesterday.
I thought you said I saw the story. Sorry.
No. I wrote the story. Microphone's doing weird things. Okay. But like, if Sony's controller stopped working because your cell phone was too close or because of a thumb drive.
Do you remember how angry people were that you couldn't turn that light off on the DualShock
phone? Yeah.
People lost their minds. They didn't want to buy the console.
But you can't even play your game. That's okay.
Yeah, you can't even play it. There was I think it was in Italy, there was a show where they were showing off the Switch and they're playing a game and the controller's disconnected on air.
I mean, it's just like, I get that people really love Nintendo and
but they really love Nintendo. It's always been happening. I remember when Nintendo turned around to YouTubers and said, "Get all your footage off your channel."
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Microsoft had done that?
Burned to the ground.
Okay.
Sony burned to the ground.
I remember when the Wii U launched in Europe and it was like, "Do you want to buy like games that are rated 18? Well, you're going to have to wait until 3 a.m. to download these things because the store won't sell you adult content until then. Why? Because we can't be bothered to negotiate anything other than Germany. Stuffed a lot of you. It's like, you know, it's quirky Nintendo.
Exactly. They made good stuff in the 90s, guys.
Oh, sorry. That's the thing about Nintendo. They do make good stuff.
No, that's fine.
Super Mario Galaxy.
I just think that nostalgia is a big part of why people give them a pause.
I think it's because they have got this veneer that they don't make games so much as they make good toys.
Yeah.
And they are.
Amiibos. Well, they're not a very good toy company because the Amiibos also had problems with it. They couldn't sell enough of them.
When your toy company has been around for over 100 years, my good man, then you can talk.
No, that's even more of a reason why they should have their stuff together. They've been doing it for 100 years. It doesn't look like it. It looks like they're flipping Silicon Valley startup who doesn't know how to sell a product.
Wow. Well, I hope we get a console to review games on.
Harsh words.
Yeah, they must prove me wrong. Nothing I've said, I'm not calling it bad because of no reason.
That clang you heard was Clinton Matos throwing down the gauntlet. And he will throw it down.
Prove it to me, Nintendo.
I've been a Nintendo fan my whole life. One of the first games I've ever played was either Pokemon Red or Blue. I can't remember off the top of my head. And I've been playing Pokemon.
A real fan would remember that sort of thing.
I was like 5, dude. I've been playing Pokemon my entire life, and I've given Nintendo lots of my money, and that company. Okay. And it's terrible to see them not know how to do business.
I don't know they don't know how to do business. Well, we'll see. I mean, who knows?
Dev, what was that story? They have enough money to run at a deficit for how long?
No idea.
Yeah, I've never looked at a company I liked. Like, there have been companies that I've liked. Like, remember the developers of Kingdom Come, Amalur?
Right.
They closed down. That was really sad because I love their game and their company.
Mm.
But Nintendo's not one of those games where it's like, if the game comes out, they're going to be burned and then there won't have enough money to make the next game.
Mm.
they do not need anyone's help. They just need to get their stuff together, and I don't know why they
can't. And just fill their console with games that were released many
years ago.
What
are the games you can play if you bought a Switch right now?
1-2 Switch.
And Milking Cows.
You can play 1-2
Switch. No, that's 1-2
Switch.
Oh, is that?
You that's one of the mini games on Switch, which is a full price game that a lot of people said should have been bundled with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing: is that like I was watching like, and this is why I said like I thought the hype was out of control. People frothing at the mouth on Twitter. Was a guy over at Critical Hit? What's his name?
Which one? There's like five people there.
Well, you would have seen him like blowing up about Nintendo this week.
Was it Jeff or was it?
I think it was Jeff. Let me just check. Because he's all over my Twitter feed going, you know, 10 out of 10, Breath of the Wild, wonderful, wonderful.
That's been my Twitter timeline since. Breath of the Wild is the best game ever.
There have actually been articles that have asked that question seriously.
What?
Is this the best game that's ever been made?
No, go away.
No, they have.
But that's fine. If they struck gold and they made the most perfect game of all time, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like... I also don't understand why everyone's like, oh, you need a Switch, get Zelda. It's like, guys, it released on the Wii U. Everyone seems to forget that they released it for the Wii U as well.
Mm.
And like a lot of people are saying, there isn't that much of a difference in performance or content between the two systems, even though one's supposed to be newer.
Well, one you can take to a braai with your friends, and instead of socializing with them, you can play Zelda.
That actually sounds
Or milk cows.
That actually sounds great.
That does sound actually good. I won't lie.
Okay, so what else is coming out? I mean, I think you got Just Dance as well.
Yeah, but that's not right now.
Skyrim.
If you're early adopters.
No, it was a launch.
Oh, is it out right now?
And you got Mario Kart, I think
Shovel Knight is also.
Shovel Knight's out. And then you got a whole bunch of titles from an indie developer. I think Splatoon 2's out yet.
No. I don't think the online services are even ready for online.
Anyway, I saw someone on Twitter go, even though they were frothing at the mouth about all like, Legend of Zelda is amazing, the Switch is wonderful. They went, 1-2 Switch is a pile of excrement.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's coming from a Nintendo fan, a proper fan.
I mean, the thing I've heard is really fun for 20 minutes and then you regret your purchase.
I don't know. I think it could be really fun for 20 minutes or longer if you were with a bunch of people who didn't normally play games on a Friday night and you'd had a bit to drink.
No, that's what they've said.
Yeah,
with my friends over, we've had something to drink.
It's like Monkey Buzz.
20 minutes.
Do you remember Monkey Buzz?
No. What's Monkey Buzz?
Do you remember like the PS2 had a bunch of the PS3 also?
Oh, I remember that game.
Had Buzz. They had the game, a series of games called Buzz. And you actually had controllers that came with the game, which had a big red buzzer at the top and all the different colors.
Oh,
multiple choice options.
Yeah, I do know this game.
There was one game that we made called Monkey Buzz, which was basically a bunch of, I say skill-based, it was more like timing-based challenges. Like, you know, you were a little monkey rolling down the hill on a log and you had to jump over things. Or there was there's an orangutan throwing powder into a fire that makes certain colors and you have to remember the order of those colors and then tap in. And they said, oh, and this is aimed at kids. And I was like, it's not. It's aimed at drunk and dirty-year-olds. Yeah.
So it's not Monkey Buzz. It's a series of games called Buzz.
I know what it's called.
Jungle Buzz. Oh, you say it's one of the mini games.
One of the mini games.
There was one called Jungle Party, which was part of Buzz as well.
Could be.
Because they all use these like
games. Could be Jungle Party.
Games, yeah.
I just remember there were four different colored monkeys in it.
Yeah.
And you did little things. And it was one of those things.
Jungle Party.
Yeah. And it was one of those games where, you know, kind of like Guitar Hero. It was of its time. Mm.
Yeah.
It was a terrible game. I never wanted it.
What?
Terrible
Guitar Hero?
Game. No, Buzz. Guitar Hero, I was a pro at.
Well, in England, the quizmaster for Buzz was voiced by Jason Donovan.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't know who we had. I can't remember that.
I never bought the game.
I would have loved it if it was Nathaniel.
We need a petition for that. Before we go off the Nintendo Switch...
Yeah.
Because I like.
Sounds like you've already gone off the Nintendo Switch.
No, not in that way. Because there's not a lot of accessories out for it because it's new, and that's not for the Switch. That's like everything that launches. Some people have already started 3D printing stuff for it, so you can get like a handle, a car mount, a tongue.
A tongue.
So this is going to sound ridiculous if you haven't seen the picture, but the the Joy-Cons, if you put them in the charging grip, mm-hmm. which is a controller handle, yep. it looks a lot like a dog's face. Someone was like, okay, they made a little tongue that you stick in there. It seems stupid until you see the picture and you're like, oh, that does 100% look like a dog. Mm. It does look like a dog that's had
an accident. I'm hoping that we get a Nintendo Switch to review and then I'll finish off Horizon Zero Dawn. But you are off to DevConf.
So basically it's a day for developers, it's a conference for mm-hmm. developers, and there's going to be a couple of people that will be speaking there. It's sold out, unfortunately, so if you wanted to go, sorry. if you are going though, I will be there from it's happening on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Registration starts at 8 until 9, and then everything kicks off at about 9:15.
Yeah, but you will be bringing back some juicy stuff.
Yes, I will.
Yeah,
be.
So that's the golden lining, that it's sold out.
Yes.
Yes, if you wanted to go and you didn't manage to go, Brendan is going to be covering it, and we will let you know.
Live vicariously through me.
Yeah. Well, not only that, you'll let us know the highlights next week, because yeah. and you know, if it sounds like your bag and DevConf is here again next year, you then might want to sign up
early. Yeah, so there's a couple of cool speakers that are happening there. One of my favorites is happening right at the end of the day. A short history of keyboards and why we need better ones.
Can I take them my mechanical keyboard? Please tell me if they mentioned mechanical keyboards.
I'm pretty sure they will, because he's talking about the last 150 years of keyboards and how nothing has changed. So I'm the nerd in me is extremely excited about that, because I want to know why this guy hates keyboards so much.
Do you know what I think it's going to be? It's probably going to be not an attack. Like just saying the QWERTY layout isn't that good.
Do you know where the QWERTY layout comes from?
No, I do know, but not right now.
It was designed to slow down typing.
No, I don't think that's
true. Yes, it was. It was designed to slow down typing because people had used to type on typewriters, which had arms. And if you type too quickly, they jammed.
Oh, yes. Okay, that makes sense.
But no, wait, wasn't that not just...
This has been another fascinating fact.
Wasn't it just that they made common ones further apart? That it accomplished something like that?
Don't question.
Everybody, what's
but it will be something interesting that I think. And I mean, like, as we know, or as hopefully people know, is that QWERTY isn't the only type of keyboard layout around.
Devorak.
that one. So yeah, I'm quite excited about it. And then obviously there'll be a lot of talk about IoT, and then coding and using blockchain in coding. And so yeah, it should be quite an interesting day for those that were lucky enough to get tickets.
Cool. Well, I think that that's pretty much us for the week.
That is us for the week. Thank you so much for tuning in. From myself, Brendan Lotz, from Nick Cowan.
Hello.
Hello. Yes. Really just throwing me like that.
Exactly.
Right?
And goodbye to the ground.
And goodbye.
And from Clinton Matos.
Bye, everybody.
And everybody else here at HGXT. We will see you next week. Goodbye. Cheerio.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.